I want to cry, holy is he, worthy is he. I don't want to be caught in that crowd that's crying crucify, because he is holy and he is worthy. Worthy of every bit of adoration that I can give him. Every bit of my life, as weak and as feeble as that might be, he is worthy of all. Praise God. If you have your Bible with you tonight, turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. A few weeks ago, I made mention that it's common for us to point fingers at somebody else, trying to blame somebody else for something that has happened to us or something that maybe we have caused. Well, we always want to shrug our shoulders and let that water run off our back, pointing the blame elsewhere. Tonight I want to look at a subject that goes on the opposite side of that. Lessons from our losses. Or you could just simply say learning from our failures. Maybe you don't want to be as honest this evening, but every one of us here tonight has experienced at least one failure in something. Somewhere along the line, we failed. Whether it's a spiritual failure, a failure in school, a failure in sports, a failure in memory, we failed somewhere along the line. After you get so old, you begin to just say that our failure in memory is just due to old age. Sometimes that is true. Probably many times that could be true, but I think sometimes for myself it's just the lack of paying attention when I should be. You know, my problem that I have with names, I can't remember names very well. And I think a lot of times it's just simply because I haven't paid attention to the name when it was given to me. If I don't use the name quickly, then it's as though I just didn't pay attention and it's gone. But if I can use the name, call that person by name, then it seems to stick a little better. You know, there's different things that we can do to help in that area. There's different things that we can do in a lot of areas when it comes to our failures. First of all, is to look at those failures and see and look and realize that there might be some lessons in them that we can glean or we can gain. In this passage of Scripture, you know the story quite well, I'm sure. Joshua and his people, the Israelite people, had just had a tremendous victory. It was an exciting victory at Jericho. They sent spies then over to Ai, about 10 miles to the west of Jericho. And they were to evaluate the best course of action, the best plan of attack. And so they went over and checked it out and realized it was just a little city. Recommended that only a small portion of the military, of the army go to Ai. And so they set up their plan and decided that 3,000 men go up to subdue it, and that military engagement turned out to be a resounding defeat, a failure. They failed after having such a tremendous victory at Jericho. They failed at little bitty Ai. Joshua, as the leader was astounded. He was completely in shock as to what took place. They only lost 36 men, but it was a serious, serious defeat. Joshua was so taken aback by what was going on or what had happened here at this little city that he fell on his face, rent his clothes, dusted himself with ashes, and fell on his face in humility before God. God, what's going on here? Your reputation's at stake, for one thing. Why did you allow us to lose? I think there's three things that I want to quickly notice, and I'm pretty sure it won't be as long as last week, so don't get too fearful tonight. But there's three things that I want to notice as to lessons that we might be able to learn from them in their failure that we could even mirror for ourselves. The first one would be that we don't blame God for our failures. Joshua had been on the ground here. He was pretty low. And after being down on the ground apparently all day, in the evening time the Lord came to him and spoke to him and said, "Get up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them." You see, Joshua didn't know what had gone on behind the scenes. He wasn't aware of what had taken place. But God saw the secret sin. God saw that what had occurred at Jericho was wrong, was a disobedient act. And from that disobedient act, the consequences of that was failure in the next military engagement. It looked, we could just stop right here and spend some time, but how often does the situation on the surface appear to be one way and then really it's completely a different way? Somebody told me something just a couple of days ago, or maybe it was just yesterday. It was just yesterday. I was hearing some things and I it got my blood pressure up. It really got my blood pressure up. I was in need of some blood pressure medicine. I told my wife, I said, that's it. Monday I'm making a trip. I'm going on a trip. I'm going to go there and I'm going to knock on the door and I'm going to confront the issue. I am fed up with this. Well, a little bit of wisdom came out and I made a phone call before Monday came, and you know, had I not made that call and went ahead and done that on Monday, boy, it would have really been a bad deal. For one, I'd have been embarrassed. I'd have been humiliated. Not that that's a bad thing, but it would have just messed things up worse. Why? Because for one, I was out of God's timing. So that little bit of wisdom that came and said, "Make a phone call first," it saved. I'm sure it saved just an awful lot. And on the outset here, on the surface, Joshua was convinced that God had failed. He was holding God accountable for this. If we could put it in layman's language, perhaps Joshua was saying that the Lord needed to shape up a little bit here. He needed to do a better job at overcoming the enemy. Because it was embarrassing for the children of Israel, and surely it had to be embarrassing for God, because He brought them out and had done all these wonderful things, but now here at little AI, they lose. And how easy it is for us to come to some such conclusions sometimes when we really don't know the spiritual conflict and the forces that are going on in behind the scenes. You know, Job is a very classic example of behind the scenes spiritual warfare. And really, that's what's taking place in our lives all across this congregation. Like, that's the kind of warfare that is going on. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's a spiritual thing going on in the atmosphere that we, in our eye, can't see. And that's the classic example of Job, that the enemy of Job stood up before God and said, have you considered, or God said to Satan, have you considered, and Satan said, yeah, I've been looking at him, but you have protected him so much, and on, and so God gave him permission to begin to destroy things. And Job, in the end, when it was all said and done, and it didn't take long for him to reach the bottom, everything was gone, including his health. It didn't take very long for all that to happen. And in the end, Job had some kind of words for God. Because he thought that God had allowed it to happen. Or that God was causing it. The fire came from God. And all this stuff came from God. But then when God began to speak back to Job, you remember what was taking place there? What happened? God was asking Job some things. You know, where were you at when I formed the earth? And where were you at? And stand up here and brace yourself like a man and answer some questions. You see, the bottom line was that Job didn't know enough to criticize God. They teach us in homiletics class that there's times that you need to just pause and let something sink in. Job didn't know enough to criticize God. Let's just take Job's name out of it and put our name in there. Personally, our individual name in there, we don't know enough to criticize God. Really, that's what it boils down to. We don't have the big picture. We may think, and so often I find myself ready to jump in, ready to get inside and deal with something because it's so frustrating or it's such a problem or whatever. But you see, God sees the big picture and God knows what He wants. And God wants to work this way, but I want to work this way. And so when I feel that struggle going on, I want to criticize God because He's not. But really, I don't know enough to criticize God. I don't have enough information to be able to criticize God. What I've found, though, is that when I begin to look back on a situation, God's a wonderful teacher. And when I begin to look back on a situation, if I but just learn from what He wants to teach me, from what He's been giving me to learn, things are so much better and easier. And so as they look back on the situation and God began to move and God began to work in their circumstances, they fixed the problem and then victory came. Don't blame God for your failures. Second lesson that you can learn here, that we can learn here, is that we do not expect victory. We cannot expect victory over covered sin. One man sinned at Jericho. Perhaps he felt that the covenant of consecration was too severe, was too rigid, was too strict. You recall the story, don't you, that God required everything. The people weren't allowed to keep anything. Everything was to be either destroyed or brought into the treasury of the Lord. Achan apparently didn't like that. He felt that he had done enough or he deserved enough that he had a right to enjoy some of these things. And so he took them. It doesn't matter tonight. I think we've just looked at this in times past here recently. It doesn't really matter that what he took wasn't a whole lot, or what he took he wasn't able to enjoy anyway because he hid it and all of that sort of thing. A little bit like the guy that enjoyed golf so much that he went out on a Sunday morning for a golf game, and Paul and Peter were looking over that game and was watching him, and Paul said, we got to do something about this. Peter said, you let me take care of it. And so the guy swung his club and hit the ball, and Peter watched it and dropped it right into the hole in one. Paul said, what'd you do that for? He said, who's he going to tell? He couldn't enjoy the benefit. He couldn't enjoy what he had taken. It was something that was grabbing a hold of him, but he couldn't enjoy it. He was disobedient in what he had done, but he wasn't able to enjoy it. He had to hide it. How many times you and I have been, was it everybody here tonight has been brought up this way? This is all we know pretty much. But how easy is it for us to push aside that one little passage of Scripture, thou God seest me? Yeah, how easy is it sometimes to push that away? Or that one little passage of Scripture that says, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, as a little boy, sometimes that verse haunted me. Because I never knew when it was going to find me out. And probably it would find me out in the most inopportune times. Which is usually the best time for it to be found out. Did Achan feel that way? Surely he did. Surely he must have just pushed that aside, that knowledge that he had that God was watching, God was aware, God was taking account. Surely he pushed those aside and said, you know, this is not that big of a deal. I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But really, when it comes down to it, when we disobey God, God is taking notice of it and reckoning day is coming. That doesn't only just go for you and me in our own particular lives, but that's also a promise for us when we think about other people and what is taking place, and it seems like sin is rampant. Just remember, there's a reckoning day coming. And what a reckoning day it was for Achan. Wow. He had to make confession, he had to make restitution, and then the people stoned him for that failure to obey God. Preachers, pastors all across the country can tell stories similar to that very thing. Somebody decided to play around with something in sin and try to hide a little bit of something only to come back maybe weeks, maybe months, perhaps even years later, and that day of reckoning come forward and their conscience is smitten and the life has been ruined. All because somebody thought that they could do it their way, or they could just play around with temptation for a little bit. The surprising part, though, of the story of Achan that really gets to me is that God didn't just hold Achan accountable, he held the whole nation of Israel accountable. Now, isn't that something to be thinking about? I wonder how many times that might be a reality in churches. Not just Wise Ball Community Church, but churches across the country or Christian organizations. Hidden things here or there, just by one person. And the destruction that comes or the hindrance that takes place. It's not just an Old Testament story either that we can look at and read and think about, but the New Testament has a story that's similar to it, found in Revelation chapter 2. The church of Pergamos. Christ's message to that church. You remember what that church was recommended or the positive side to that church? Jesus was saying, thou holdest fast my name. Thou hast not denied my faith. Sounds like a pretty good church to be involved with. But then there was another side to it that he revealed. He revealed something wrong. He said, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. One writer said that both of these doctrines of compromise were doctrines of compromise with the world, and God hates them. Both of these were doctrines of compromise, and God hates them. Jesus said further down then, in verse 16 of that chapter, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Here are some faithful people and commended for their integrity, and yet Jesus called them all to repentance. because of the false teachers that were hidden away within their church. I wonder sometimes what the New Testament writer meant when he wrote the words, "Judgment must begin at the house of God." The altar was open this morning for anybody that didn't have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It wasn't very many weeks, just a few months ago, that Brother Fay preached a message very similar to that, as your name in the book, on a Sunday morning. So I'm thinking tonight that everybody's name is in the book this evening. Everybody has their name written there. We cannot expect victory with covered sin. One final lesson that I want to quickly leave with you. Total victory requires total involvement. Chapter number 8 of Joshua and verse number 1, it tells us there, God speaking to Joshua, he said, "Take all the people of war with thee and arise and go up to Ai." Now let's just boil that down a little bit and find a lesson for the church in this as well. Don't blame God for failure. Don't expect victory over covered sin. Total victory requires total involvement. It means that the Spirit of God will not approve of part-time devotion, half-hearted loyalty, lukewarm service for Christ or His church. You know, as I thought about that, I was reminded of Gideon's little band, and he went against a huge army. God gave Gideon the victory. Why didn't God just allow them to take 3,000 men and go? Because I think at this time God wanted them to understand the principle of total involvement. There wasn't a back seat where people could just hide in among the stuff. Now, I'm not saying that as a literal back seat here tonight, okay? I'm not saying that. That way, I'm talking about in the arena of life. It's easy to hide in the back seat of life. That's one of the big benefits of having a mega church. You can get people to come to that mega church because they can just slip in and slip out, and nobody knows if they're there or not. Or if they miss, it's not a big deal. You know, backseat stuff, the slider, the half-hearted, the lukewarm, part-time devotion, all of those things, loyalty that is divided. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, Lord willing, next Sunday, but half-hearted devotion. A total victory only comes when we are totally, completely involved. So as common this evening, I ask a question. I simply propose to you a thought. Are you spiritually stuck at AI? Or have you advanced? Don't blame God for our failures. Don't blame God for my failures. Don't believe or come to the idea that we can have victory with covered sin. And give myself 100% to His cause. Know that He'll give the victory. Stand with me this evening, please.